City council will come to order. Someone's taken the gavel, but luckily democracy is not dependent upon the gavel. Sue, doesn't hurt it though. Today is Thursday, May 28th. It's 2 p.m. This is the afternoon session of the Portland City Council. Sue, would you please call the roll?
Here.
We have just a little bit of housekeeping to do. The enforcer, otherwise known as Jeremy, found that there were some amendments to the spring budget monitoring process and minor supplemental budget, which was council calendar item 740 yesterday. And understand, Jeremy, why don't you explain what we need to do today?
Good afternoon, Council. Jeremy Pan with Financial Planning Division. There are a few small technical errors. The first one was in Exhibit 1 that was passed yesterday. The exhibit only included the changes from the spring bump and didn't actually include the revised appropriation, which is the revised budget plus the changes. So we basically just swapped out Exhibit 1. The other change was the compensation set aside was actually taken out of contingency instead of materials and services. So we made that change as well, with just another minor technical adjustment. I think the city attorney will walk us through all the amendments that we need to do to fix the problem.
Sure. Good morning. What we need to do is have a motion to reconsider, which anyone can make, adopt that, then make a motion.
Second. It's been moved and seconded to reconsider. Any discussion from council on this item? Anyone wishes to testify on this item? Sue, would you please call the roll on the motion to reconsider?
Fish.
Aye.
Sossman.
This is on. Okay, yes. Aye.
Good answer. Leonard.
Good answer.
Fritz.
Aye. Good answer.
Adams.
Aye. Motion is approved.
Okay. The second motion would be to move to amend the ordinance to substitute the exhibit that you've just been handed for the exhibit that was in the one that was adopted yesterday.
So motion, I move to substitute the exhibit that says May 28, 2009, dash as amended for yesterday's council calendar item 740.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion from council?
Shall I read the item?
Sure.
740, adopt budget adjustment recommendations in the minor supplemental budget for the FY 2008-09 spring minor supplemental budget process and make budget adjustments to various funds.
Thank you, Sue. Is there anyone that wishes to testify on this issue? Seeing none, unless there's additional council discussion, Sue, would you please call the roll on the substituted minor supplemental budget monitoring process motion.
Fish.
Aye.
Sossman.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye. So done. Mr. Patton, is there more work to be done?
I believe that was the motion to amend.
To substitute.
And the to substitute, which just passed, and now you'll need to pass it as substituted.
Is there any council discussion on the motion to pass the amended bump, minor supplemental? Is there any that wishes to testify on the amended bump, minor supplemental? Sue, would you please call the roll?
Fish.
Aye.
Sossman.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye. Approved. Mr. Patton, anything else? Mr. Van Dyke?
That's it.
All right. That brings us to the 2 o'clock time certain. And Sue, would you please read the title for our 2 o'clock time certain?
Authorize intergovernmental agreement with the Port of Portland for up to $440,000 for planning services to prepare a West Hayden Island plan and possible annexation proposal and provide for payment.
Come on up. This is another issue that this council has agreed to tackle, that actually has been languishing on the city's to-do list for 10 years. It is time to move the designation of West Hayden Island from no person's land to some kind of land and incorporation in some form into the city itself, at least to go through a process to seriously consider the options surrounding that. So conversations with the port, conversations with stakeholders, including environmental stakeholders, has produced what I think is a balanced and fair process that we're going to hear about today and offer to council for consideration. Eric?
Thank you, Mayor Adams. My name is Eric Engstrom. I'm here representing the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. With me is Susie Lassen with the Port of Portland, and we're just going to go over the details of this intergovernmental agreement. The ordinance before you would authorize the mayor to execute an IGA with the Port of Portland for approximately $440,000 to pay for planning services. That will lead towards a possible concept plan for the island and consideration, of, as you said, of possible annexation. If that decision moves forward, then we would also be developing a planned district for the zoning code for that site. This will all happen over the next 12 to 14 months if this agreement is executed. And then there are a couple of phases of our work. The main phases of the project would involve the first phase being the foundation studies, and which would include environmental resource study and an economic study of the site and the possible benefits of development or natural resource enhancement. This will lead to a question coming back to council in the late fall for the basic question being, is it possible and desirable to mix uses of natural resource enhancement and protection and marine terminal development? And so that basic question will come to council in the late fall. If the answer is yes, then we would move on to a concept plan and a plan district in the spring. You touched upon that this has been on our to-do list for a while. So why is this important to do now? One thing I would mention is that we're well along in the process of a plan for the eastern half of Hayden Island, which will come before you on the 18th of June. All of you are aware of the Columbia Crossing project as well, which puts a light on Hayden Island as a whole and what the future of that area is going to be. You also are aware that we're in the process of updating our comprehensive plan, and as part of that, the city has an interest in knowing how much industrial land overall we have, and particularly how much marine industrial land we have, and whether we should be counting any portion of this site in that equation. That also plays into the metro regional decisions about industrial land and whether there's enough of it within the urban growth boundary. The process we're following with this, we've formed a community working group.
Could I interrupt you just to clarify that I approached, so that council knows the background, I approached the port because of the reasons that you mentioned and other community stakeholders to initiate this process.
Yes.
That it made sense. I felt there were compelling reasons to do it now.
Yes. The public process for this will be driven by the community working group, which is a group of interested parties and residents of West Hidden Island that has been formed to be the steering committee for this work. The chair of that group is with us in the audience, Ann Squire. The group includes Bob Salinger, Travis Williams, Chris Hathaway, Tim Heltzer, Bob Akers, Richard Carhart, Brad Houghton, Tom Dana, Bruce Hulte, Bob Russell, Corky Collier, Ray Vallone, Sebastian Deegans, myself, and then Mike Rosen from the Bureau of Environmental Services. The charter of that group, I believe, has been given to you as well with your papers. And basically, the charter is to advise the council and by extension, the Planning and Sustainability Bureau on how marine industrial land, habitat, and recreational uses might be reconciled on West Hayden Island, and if they determine that a mix of uses is possible, to recommend a preferred concept plan. And, you know, that is the central question of this project. Metro has designated this site as regionally significant industrial land, It's also been designated as high-value riparian habitat in Metro Title 13. So we need to look seriously at the process and at the facts underlying those designations and figure out whether we can reconcile that and how. And I'd like to turn it over now to Susie Lassen with the Port of Portland to describe a little bit about the port's perspective and why this is an important project.
Thanks, Eric. Mayor, commissioners. Susie Lassen, Port of Portland Transportation Land Use Policy Manager. I also have with me today our Marine Director, Sam Ruta, and Tom Imason, our Public Affairs Director, who'd just like to say a couple of words when I'm finished. West Haden Island was brought into the UGB to serve a marine industrial need in 1983, and at that time, Metro also recognized the habitat values on the island. The port purchased the island in 94 to address future marine growth, and then since that time, Metro, in their planning process, their land use planning, and their policy framework established by the 2040 growth concept, Title IV and Title 13, has continued to highlight and reinforce the industrial development potential and the habitat value. To date, as the mayor indicated, we have an asset that's undefined. We need both zoning and comp plan designation that addresses the needs and interests for the island and considers the policy framework. We believe that the process outlined with the stakeholders provides the opportunity to carefully consider how marine industrial, habitat, and recreational uses might be reconciled on West Haden Island, and if so, to recommend a land use concept plan would be a terrific outcome. At this point, I would like to ask Sam Ruta and Tom Imason to come up and talk a little bit about why the annexation now from the port's perspective.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, commissioners. My name is Sam Ruta. I'm the Director of Marine and Industrial Development at the Port of Portland. It's a pleasure to be in front of you today. Despite the downturn in global economic conditions, the port has and continues to respond to the headwinds that confront us. And even in these difficult economic times, opportunities for near-term and long-term business growth are in fact real and viable. The maritime business, to be frank, is very dynamic, and there are cycles, both up and down. Nevertheless, the long-term projection still supports growth in global trade. And given our geography relative to Asia and other markets, our ability to participate in this growth represents a great opportunity for the city, the state, and certainly the port. This means that we need to consider our land assets and plan carefully for the future as we evaluate business opportunities. I believe the city and the port are at their best when we do our homework, plan collaboratively, and engage with our collective stakeholders. While it's often difficult to undertake projects like this, where the range of options seems at odds, it is, in fact, in the best interest of the city to be asking the question, what is the future of West Haden Island? And can a mix of uses be reconciled on the 825 acres in question? We believe that the answer is yes. Leaving West Haden Island in planning limbo, so to speak, serves only limited interests. We recognize that there are different views to what waterfront development should or should not be. This process, which the port fully endorses, will address this. I applaud the collective effort now underway and appreciate the vast amount of time and resources being committed to address the future of this very important asset. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary Adams, members of the council. I'm Tom Imason, Public Affairs Director for the Port of Portland. Appreciate the opportunity to be here today and spend just a couple of minutes on the process that we hope to formalize with the city with respect to West Haden Island. And I think it's worth pointing out that a lot of effort and care has been taken by the city and I think by the port and others who have been involved in this so far in trying to create a a process that has real merit. We began that by engaging the Oregon Consensus Program, which conducted a series of interviews with stakeholders and a number of conversations with the community about that process and how to engage in it. And I think a lot of that is represented in what's before you today. We believe that the community working group that Eric outlined represents a very diverse set of interests that are concerned about the island, and that already the four meetings that they've conducted so far have proven to be effective. Title 13, Metro's Title 13, was mentioned earlier, the Nature and the Neighborhood title, which directs the port and the city to develop a concept plan for the island in cooperation with each other, and we believe that this effort will produce that. So that's very important, I think, to all of us. And I think it's important that the group's charter is very clear and specific. It asks the community working group to advise the city on how the marine, industrial, habitat, and recreational uses might be reconciled, and if a mix is determined possible, what a concept plan should look like. We believe this charge addresses the policy framework established by Metro over the last 25 years. So it's our hope that this 18-month study and planning effort will yield new information about economic needs and the island's environmental values. We also hope the process provides the community with an open door into the port's business to our challenges and our hopes, not unlike what the Airport Futures Project has yielded on the aviation side of our business. And I think all of us would agree that effort is going forward very well at this point. So we appreciate your consideration of the IGA and want to assure you that the port stands ready to execute that agreement immediately, should you approve it. Thanks for the opportunity to appear.
Thank you, gentlemen. Mr. Salinger, do you want to give us your perspective? You can stay up here, Eric. It's all right. Welcome.
Good afternoon. Thanks for the opportunity to testify. My name is Bob Salinger. I'm the Conservation Director for the Audubon Society of Portland. First of all, I want to express my appreciation to Mayor Adams and his staff for the work they've done on this process. Also, to Ann Squire for chairing this process. I think she was a great selection. And to the Planning Bureau for their efforts and also for revising the IGA. I think it's far improved over the original draft. Nonetheless, we are still concerned. The original IGA was very, very controversial and poorly received by many committee members. And it was disappointing to us that it was actually never brought back to the committee for review, and none of the committee was formally invited here today to testify. We were told at the last meeting that the draft was done. You could go to the internet and see it if you wanted to, and you could come and testify if you wanted to today. But that was our participation in this final draft, and that's very disappointing given the controversies to date. More importantly, we believe it's still somewhat unclear in the IGA as to what the port and the city's roles are. There's a lot of places where they seem to both have oversight, and this is a controversial project, and it's troubling to us that the port still, in our mind, remains a project manager, a future applicant, a committee member, a funder. They have a staffer on the committee. They have a board member on the committee, and they serve on the boards of some of the committee members as well. So they play a lot of roles in this process, and that may be unavoidable to some degree. We think it's still overemphasized. It is critical that this process be open, fair, and transparent. This process has already been marred by numerous situations where there was a real perceived bias. In just one example, the city took out ads to support a Port of Portland presentation on West Haden Island at which no one else was allowed to present or table. And the port gave its presentation. It looked like a joint city port presentation, but it was very, very explicitly the port's point of view. And they were the only ones allowed to talk, essentially, and we could ask questions, but they got to answer them. So this process has not started on the right foot. I think it's starting to get on track, and that gives me some hope. As you know, Audubon is a strong supporter of long-term strategic planning, and we think it's important to try and be rigorous about that and not to deviate from our plans unless there's real true cause. And we appreciated, for example, your decision on Colwood as a good example of that. But it's equally important to understand that there has been a series of conflicting planning decisions on this parcel. There's no clear-cut path forward, and we have a lot of conflicting decisions that no one's reconciled. That's what we're charged with doing now. Equally important to realize is that since the port took the property by condemnation or by threat of condemnation in 1994, there have been huge changes on the landscape. On the environmental side, we've had Superfund listings, Clean Water Act enforcement, ESA listings, the 96 floods where the island was underwater, climate change initiatives, and the development of this island has huge implications for our ability to achieve mandates in those areas. It's not to say we shouldn't do it, but it does have huge implications for things that have occurred since 1994. On the economic side, almost all of the basic economic assumptions, when you go back to all the documents from the 80s and the 90s, have failed to come true. Those economic predictions were wrong. Again, it's not to say we shouldn't do it, but there's a lot of reasons to be skeptical about the assumptions that were in place in 1994 when this was taken by threat of condemnation. So I'll end by just saying that I cut my teeth on the 1999 process. It was the first major policy piece that I did for Audubon. The port pulled me out of the care center and asked me to serve on that committee, so I always tell them that it's their fault that I'm here today. I'd still be rehabbing squirrels, but for them.
The squirrels miss you.
They do. And I think the port would be happy if I went back there. But for 2 years on that public process, frankly, I was a lone voice of dissent, raising questions and issues about the fundamental assumptions. And when the final report came out, I was still a lone voice of dissent. I was pretty much steamrolled. It's still the ugliest process I've ever been involved in 17 years working for Audubon. I was the dissenting voice. It turns out that most of the things we were saying turned out to be valid, and that process eventually did derail only after spending huge amounts of public resources to get to a train wreck. And so my hope is that this time around we'll do a lot better job up front on the committee scrutinizing the assumptions and the various facets of this project so we come to a better decision at the end of the day. My hope is simply that when it does come before you, it may still be conflicted, but that you'll have good, solid information on which to make a choice. So on there. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob. Ms. Squire, could you come forward? Chair Squire is the former Natural Resources Policy Advisor to Oregon Governor Barbara Roberts, taught water law, so you might be able to, illuminate a few things for Commissioner Leonard, our water commissioner, at Lewis and Clark from 1985 to 1992. Like, I have this question about McCall's. Is it appropriate that we're using Water Bureau money? No, never mind. A member of the Energy Facility Siting Task Force and a founding member of the Oregon Shores Conservation Coalition and currently a board member, chaired the first Water Policy Review Board, served as a member of the Land Conservation and Development Commission and Environmental Quality Commission. I want to thank you, someone of your background and prestige and expertise, I want to thank you for taking on what is a very, very difficult task, very controversial, and I just wanted to maybe have you explain how you're seeking to chair this and to get to the facts and making sure that it's a level playing field for consideration. If you could move that mic a little closer to you, we can hear you.
Thank you, Mayor Adams. Commissioners, I didn't prepare any particular presentation this afternoon. I'm honored to have been asked to chair this, although once I learned a little bit more about the history and the process, I realized it was a very serious job. I would say that we have a very diverse group of stakeholders, largely focused locally on West Haden Island, with very, very strong views about what the outcome should be. But I am quite hopeful after our latest meeting that everyone is going to make a serious effort to see whether there is a way to reconcile competing policy directives on that piece of land. I have no idea where this is going to come out. It will be a tense process because we are focusing within an existing policy framework and yet are being asked to see whether it is possible to reconcile those potentially conflicting policies. And if there is a problem getting to that point at some point, you start to get out of the local process and into something that would have to be a much larger regional process. So I don't think we're going to end up there. I think that this, as I say, has a very good chance of having people take a good, hard, good faith, civil discourse to get to some kind of reconciliation that takes into account both some very fine habitat qualities and the location from an industrial standpoint. So I'd be glad to answer any specific questions.
Questions from the council?
I just have a procedural question. I've been looking through the questions, the questions that have been framed for the working group.
Yes.
And the one of the last questions is, what is the package that as a group we can recommend to City Council? If you find that, notwithstanding your best efforts, you can't get to consensus, but that there are some divergent views, would it be your intention to report back to us with a sort of majority and minority opinion in writing?
The short answer is yes. We have adopted some working agreements on how we're going to proceed. I did not bring those with me today, but they basically set a fairly high percentage of the group that must agree before we go on and say something is settled. We do not require 100% consensus on everything. If, in fact, we end up with a report that is not 100% consensus, it will describe the dissenting view or views within that report as dissenting views so that you have the full picture of what our discussion and debate has been. Is that responsive?
Yes, that's very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Fish.
So what was the process to decide that there was going to be a mix of use rather than all industrial or all environmental?
Commissioner Fritz, that is not something that this group has been involved in. We are given the framework that has developed over 16 years or so, both at Metro and the city, that say that there are high habitat values, this critical salmonid habitat, that it's very high value for marine industrial use, that there are potential recreational uses. And we are asked to take those conflicting policies and recommend back whether there's a way to reconcile them and satisfy all of those policy goals within the 800 plus acres on West Hayden Island. Is that responsive to your question?
Well, a follow-up, yes. Could one of the outcomes be, no, we can't make the both uses work, and so it should be either all industrial or all preservation?
That is something that I think was of great concern to Mr. Salinger and to others on the group early on. The charter, I think, makes clear that there is the possibility that we will not be able to reconcile. An example might be in the fact-finding that is done when we have consultant work, there could be something that none of us has anticipated that would overwhelm in one direction or another and basically require the group to say, no, we can't reconcile. There is room for that. That is not the goal, and that is not the charge. But there is room for it if the facts drive us there.
Thank you. And then this agreement doesn't commit us to annex West Hayden Island. Is that correct?
No, this sets in motion the work to consider.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair Squire.
Appreciate
your willingness to serve on this very difficult and controversial project.
Thank you for asking.
Thank you.
Further discussion with staff and the City Council?
Just I wanted to clarify that the full amount of the cost of this, as I read this document, the $440,000, is to be borne by the Port of Portland?
Correct. The money goes into two basic directions. One part of it is to use for staff and in planning and sustainability, and the other part is for these two external studies.
And again, they're paying for they're helping to pay for a process, not an outcome. Okay. Is there anyone else that wishes to testify that has not testified thus far? All right. Eric, is there anything you want to say like we haven't said?
No. Thank you.
Sue, would you please call the roll?
Fish.
Thank you, Mayor, for moving this forward. Appreciate Bob Salinger coming as our only testimony outside of the direct participants. This looks like a promising enterprise. I look forward to a rigorous planning work and a robust discussion of the issues with all the stakeholder groups, and I'm pleased that it has been made clear that there is no constraint on what can be evaluated and reported back to us on this. This is not an enterprise where there are boundaries strictly observed which prefigure some set of recommendations, and that if the fundamental premise of this task force turns out to be flawed in some way and these matters cannot be reconciled, we'll be getting a report back to that effect. And if the task force cannot and the work group cannot reach some kind of consensus, we look forward to hearing from the chair as to that point in which there's some kind of impasse. But I, too, want to thank the distinguished chair for her service and taking on this task, and the port for being a good partner and for funding this enterprise, and the mayor for his leadership. Aye.
Salzman.
Well, I want to thank the working group and thank planning for their getting this process up and running. I do think, as was noted, we tackled planned district issues and airport growth issues through the Airport Futures Project, which had a very similar, I think, origins, and sometimes, I guess, skepticism about the port's control or not of the process. But I do think that I think skeptics were proved wrong, and I think we did, with the port and the city, I think we did have a good process that involved everybody, and I think everybody came out happy. I recognize that this may not be as easy as the airport, and that's saying something in of itself. Nevertheless, I think there's a lot of people with good intentions around the table, and I look forward to a robust process with good leadership at Chair Squires, and we'll see where it goes. All right.
Bernard.
Aye.
Fritz. This is exciting to be moving forward with this. I looked at the makeup of the community working group, and there are it's a good balance, and I know that the other neighborhood folks who are not here today, it's because they're working, and it's not that they don't care about being here, and I appreciate that. My office actually explored the potential for the Office of Healthy Working Rivers to have a representative on the community working group, and we understand that that would upset the balance between the different stakeholders, but we will certainly be attending the meetings and making sure that we follow it closely and are active participants in it. So I appreciate your serving as chair, and the funding from the port in these very difficult times emphasizes the importance of this to make the decisions one way or another. I think that's part of what I'm supporting here. So thank you very much. Aye.
Adams.
Thank you to the working group members. Thank you to the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. Thank you to the port. And thanks to Amy Rees in my office, who will be the liaison for this project. Aye. Is approved. That gets us to 230. No, where are we? Done. City Council is adjourned for the week. Somebody find my gavel.
That's what we're reconsidering everything. One motion is to reconsider.
This is better than the gavel.
No, it's scarier.